Awesome. And the song says, ain't no sinner that he can't save, right?
Amen.
Amen. And that's what our message is. That's what our message is all about today. Can you turn me down a little bit? That's what our message is all about today. Amen. That the new covenant, Jesus came for everyone, every one of us. Amen. Grace and thank you, Lord. That's right. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, amazing grace. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you did come for each and every one of us, Father, and for now and for all of eternity, and that you came so that we may all be with you in the heavens, Father God, for all of eternity. And we thank you, Lord, for this message today. We ask that you open our hearts and minds to receive it, to believe it, and to love it, Lord. And we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen,
amen.
And amen. All right. A new covenant vision. That's my sermon title today, and we're going to be talking about visions. Amen? Martha Berry was a lady with a vision to help children. She began a school for poor children. She had no books. She had no building. She had no money. But she had a dream. She had a dream. And so she went to Henry Ford to ask for a donation. She went straight to the top, amen, to ask for a donation. And Mr. Ford reached in his pocket, and he gave Martha Berry a dime. Gave her a dime, okay? Even back then, I mean, that still wasn't a lot of money, amen? And Martha took that dime, and she bought a packet of seeds, and she planted a garden. She raised the crop, and she sold it, and then she bought more seeds. And after three or four harvests, believe it or not, she had enough money to purchase that old building for the children. And she returned to Mr. Ford and she said, look what your dime has done. She said the man was so impressed that he donated $1 million to her school. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. 2 Corinthians 9:16 says that, chapter 9 says that God gives spiritual seed to people and he will make it grow. Amen? God gives spiritual seed to people. God had given Martha Berry a vision. Amen? And he was going to make it grow. And she ran with it, right? God gave Cornelius a vision as well and he followed it. Amen? He followed it. He sent his people to follow this vision. But in today's text, it's the rock's turn. Amen? It's the rock's turn. And Peter's going to listen to him as well. As God plants the seeds of righteousness and faith in these great believers, they're going to deliver the gospel in his name. Amen? In our last sermon, we saw that Cornelius, he had answered God's call right through the vision. He sent two of his servants and a soldier to Joppa to complete the task. The seeds had been planted, and God was about to make his church start to grow. Amen? His church was going to grow. So our first verses today say that at about noon the following day, as they went on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. It says he became hungry, and he wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. So these men are traveling to Joppa. Peter goes up on the rooftop, right, to pray. And this isn't unusual for that day, okay? This was a beautiful seaside community. It would have been a beautiful place with a cool breeze to go up on the roof and pray and just spend some time with God. Amen? And it would have looked something like this. See the people up on the roof enjoying the weather, right? There's Joppa. And as Peter begins to pray, he starts to feel hungry, it says. Okay? He starts to feel hungry. Yeah, he's human just like all of us. Amen? He starts to feel hungry. And we can all get hungry at any moment, right? All right? My wife will tell you that I get hungry way too often. Right? As a matter of fact, I'll sometimes joke around. I'll tell her that if I don't eat soon, I might black out. Right? I don't have a lot of reserves, so if I don't eat soon, I might black out, I tell her. And she tells me, to which she replies every time in Spanish, just like a little kid. And I can't translate it for you, but how do you say it? Como un niño chiquito, that's right. That's right. Just like a little kid, all right? And then I eat, of course. But so Peter's hunger became a distraction for him, right? Peter's hunger became a distraction. And in some translations, it says he became very hungry. Very hungry. And he wanted to eat. And so if I had to guess, he was probably about ready to black out too. Okay? All right? I'm pretty sure. But his blackout was going to be more like a trance, okay? It said a trance where God would give him a vision. God was going to give him a vision. God was going to use this distraction of hunger to speak to Peter. Amen? And he does that for a lot of us too. That's why we fast for prayer. Amen? That's why we fast for prayer, because it helps us focus more on our communication with God. And so, while in the trance, in the blackout, Peter receives this vision, okay? It's a vision of this sheet coming down, right? And the verses say that he saw heaven opened up, right? And something like a large sheet being let down to the earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. And then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied, right? Of course. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." And the voice spoke to him a second time, said, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." Then it says, this happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. So here Peter's up on the rooftop, he's praying, he falls into this trance, he sees a vision, and verse 11 says it's something like this sheet coming down, right? With all these animals, four corners, all four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Now, to an old covenant Jew, believing Jew of that time, most of these animals would have been considered unclean, okay? Most of them would have been considered unclean and not kosher, right? Not kosher. So Leviticus 11 states that any animal that moves on all fours, walks on its belly, or has many feet is detestable. Right? So we can see a few of them there, right? Right? It's detestable. It also says that four-footed animals that have paws are unclean, right? Like our dogs and our cats, right? And these were dietary restrictions based on Old Testament laws, okay? Old Testament, the Old Covenant, right? I'm going to talk about bacon for a minute, right? Another law, of course, was to not eat pork, okay? To not eat pork. And Peter was a faithful Old Testament Jew, and he felt like he had followed all the rules and all the commandments of Judaism, right? And he wanted to honor the God of Israel. So, if you can believe this, up to this point in Peter's life, he had never eaten a piece of bacon, right? I know it's sad to think about, right? He had never even eaten a piece of bacon, amen? So, neither had he eaten lobster or any other type of unclean animal, right? Unkosher meat. And kosher animals, just so you know, would have been like a kosher that they could have eaten was like a cow or sheep or goats, okay? And the example was because they had split hooves and they chewed the cud. Chewed the cud, right? I'm not going to explain to you what that is right now, so. But it has something to do with regurgitation, okay? But they chewed the cud. So these were some of the animals that they were allowed to eat. And so Peter kept his Levitical kosher dietary rules. And he sees all these unclean animals coming down on this sheet, right? And he sees them all coming down and he hears this voice saying, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat," right? Kill and eat. And Peter is thinking, he knows it's God, right? He thinks he's being tested. And he says, "Surely not, Lord," right? So he knows it's God, amen? He says, "Surely not, Lord." Not a good idea, right? Not a good idea. When is it ever a good idea to tell God no, right? Right? But never. But, you know, if God is speaking to you in whatever fashion he sees fit, we listen to him, right? And I suggest we say like the song says, right? Yes, yes, Lord, amen? We never say no to God, amen? Yes, yes, Lord. But Peter had a track record, right, of saying no to God. Amen? Peter, and we know that. A couple examples. Remember when Jesus said, "I'm going to the cross." And Peter said, "No, Lord." And the Lord told him, "Get behind me, Satan." Right? Get behind me, Satan. That was one time. Another time, he wanted to wash Peter's feet. The Last Supper, amen? And he said, no, Lord, I don't want you to wash my feet. So Peter had a record of saying no, right? Saying no to God, saying no to Jesus. But you see these other times that Peter had said no, this was all before Pentecost, amen? This was before the Holy Spirit had come upon him, okay? But now Peter's converted, right? Peter's converted, the Holy Spirit has come upon him. He received the Holy Spirit, and this shows us that Peter's still Peter. Even though he's saved, amen, Peter is still Peter. He's still in the flesh, right? He's still in the flesh. He's still a work in progress. We're all still a work in progress. Amen, each and every one of us. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fall. We are going to sin. But the key is to live in repentance. To live in repentance so that we may be greatly used by God for His will. Right? In this world. Amen? And how much does this world need that right now, right? It needs more and more of us for God to use. God can use you. God used a lot of people in the Bible, amen, that messed up. Amen? Noah got drunk, right? God used him, right? Abraham was too old, but God used him. Moses couldn't speak publicly to save his life, amen, but God used him. Rahab was a prostitute. And God used her. Jonah ran from God, right? Of course, God had to step in on that one, but he used him as well, right? Used him as well. And Peter denied Christ three times, but God used him. And he was going to use him again, right? He was going to use him again. God did not use Peter because he was perfect, right? He used him because he was repentant and he was always available for God's service. Peter was always ready to go. He was always ready to go. And he can and he'll use any of us when we're repentant and we're ready and willing to live in his service. Amen? He can use any of us any day of the week. And so this sheet of delicious food, some of it anyways, it's coming down, right? And God says, Peter, kill and eat. To which Peter answers, surely not, Lord. You're not going to catch me slipping, right? I'm sticking to the rules. I know the rules, right? But God answers him back. He says, don't call anything impure that I have made clean. Do not call anything impure that I've made clean. You see, God was telling Peter that he was making things clean and holy. He says, don't contradict me and don't call it unclean. You see, God wasn't just speaking about the food. The sermon started to make me hungry too, by the way, just so you know. But what God was really trying to do here was to demonstrate his power to transform something, right? And make it clean. Despite the Old Testament rules, Jesus had come. Amen? He had come. The new covenant had come. And God was going to make all things new. Right? All things new. God was talking about people, right? Not about food. He was talking about people. He just uses the food to get our attention. Right? Right? And that gets all of our attention at some point, right? Because God created hunger too, right? Amen? So God's point was that anybody could come to Jesus and be saved. The Jews, the Gentiles, the Roman soldiers, the addicts, prisoners, murderers, thieves, anybody could repent. That's the point. Amen? Anybody could repent and come to Jesus. And in this ancient world of today's text, this was a radical idea. Amen? It was a radical, this was the Jewish God, right? This was a radical idea. And today, of course, we know that anybody can be saved that gives their lives to Christ. But back then, all these nations, they had their own gods, right? They had their own gods, they had their own deities, whatever you want to call them. But the Jewish God was for the Jews. Our God at that time was for the Jews. But Jesus was going to come, and Jesus was going to change all of that. He said, everybody that repents and gives their lives to Christ will have a relationship with the Father. Everybody. One God for the whole world. No racism, no rejection, and no religion. Amen? No religion. Just a relationship with the one that loves us all. All about the relationship. And so this was such a radical idea that even though Peter was converted and the Holy Spirit was in him, it says the Lord did this three times. Amen? Three times to get his point across, right? This is Peter. He knew Peter was hard-headed, right? But the third time was the charm, and Peter got the message, and in a short time, Peter is going to understand the message fully, right? He's going to understand it, and we'll be preaching about that here in the next couple weeks. But verse 17, it goes on to say, while Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. Whoever they are, don't hesitate. I sent them. God is speaking to Peter again. And while Peter's still thinking about that go kill and eat thing, right? He's still thinking about that. God is speaking to him again. And he says, okay, stop thinking about the animals, okay? You got the point. Three men are coming to your house right now. They're coming to your house, and you're going to go with them, and then the vision ends, okay? The vision ends. So the amazing part about this second command in verses 19 and 20 is that God never mentions to Peter that they're Gentiles, right? He just says, go down to these men and go with them, right? And Peter already being reluctant and listening to the Lord surprises Peter, amen? He surprises him by having three Gentiles come to his door that he's never met. And he knew there were Gentiles by the way they were dressed, by the way, just so you know. Amen? They used to dress differently. They would dress, and especially he knew the soldier, right? He could tell the Roman soldier the way he was dressed, okay? So verse 21 goes on to say, Peter went down to the men. He said, I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come here? And the men replied, we've come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who was respected by all the Jewish people. And a holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he can hear what you have to say. Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guest. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. This was blind faith. Amen? Blind faith in God to do what God asked. Peter doubted nothing at this point. He would listen to the Lord. He'd go down there. He'd meet the three men, thinking that they must be Jews if God sent them, right? But he opens the door and he sees they're Gentiles. He sees they're Gentiles. He probably almost blacked out again. It was two Gentiles and a Roman soldier. God was using anyone back then. Amen? And God still uses anyone today. Whoever he wants to use for his will. Amen? For his bidding. And thanks be to God for that. So Peter sees these Gentiles, and he probably can't believe his eyes. He remembers what he heard. He remembers the Lord saying, don't hesitate to go with them because I sent them, he says, right? Don't hesitate. So Peter, still astonished, he looks at him and says, why have you come? The men say that they were sent by Cornelius, and it says Cornelius was a righteous, God-fearing man who was known and respected by the Jewish people, right? Pretty good definition. And it says that they were sent by Cornelius, whom an angel told to ask you to come to his house so he can hear what you have to say. So the angel's working all this together. Amen? And Peter could have and should have said, well, okay, let's talk about this out here on the porch, right? Out here on the street. And then when we're done, you guys can go down the road to the Gentile Inn, right? And you can stay at the hotel. Amen? But no, Peter would swallow his pride. Amen? He's going to swallow his pride. This was going to be hard for him, for anybody back then to associate with these Gentiles. And he's going to swallow his pride. He's going to remind himself that God said, I sent them. Doesn't matter who they were, right? God said, I sent them. And he would invite them into his house. Not just to stay there, but to be his guest, it says, right? To be his honored guest. And he wouldn't just let them stay in a room or on the rooftop. He treated them like guests. And the idea was entirely new to Gentiles. Amen? And it was new to Peter. God was expanding Peter's mind and his heart for the gospel. That's what this is about. Amen? That's why he was staying at the Tanner's house. Remember we talked about that, right? God was expanding Peter's mind and preparing him to deliver this Gentile or this gospel message to the Gentile world. This was against every custom of the Jewish people of that day. You see, those religious traditions that were against a word of God, they still are today. Amen? We're living in the new covenant. Amen? These religious traditions are still against God's word today. We are living in the new covenant. And here's a picture. This is, Simon the Tanner's house today. Amen? They say that's the house. It's still there. This is a true story. Amen? True story? And so Peter would invite them into the house, that house, to stay in the guest suite until the next day when Peter, the Gentiles, and some believers from Joppa were going to make their way to Cornelius' house. Okay? So Peter could deliver the message of hope and peace that is available to each and every one of us, to all of mankind, not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles as well. So this new covenant gospel message is a promise. Amen? It's a promise that God will forgive sins. He will restore relationships with all people who turn their hearts towards Him. Everyone. He can restore our relationships. It's a new relationship between God and all of His people, mediated by Jesus Christ, that's based on Jesus' death on the cross. Amen? Jesus' death on the cross. This new covenant would be different from their old covenant, which was about self-righteousness and earning God's favor by following all these rules. Amen? This was the new covenant. Thanks be to God, the new covenant would be about grace, right? It would be about grace where God forgives and changes people because of Yeshua. Yeshua the Lord who saves. Amen? Thank you, Jesus, right? Praise God. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the reminder that your mercy and grace knows no bounds and is for everyone who turns and gives their lives to you, Father. Despite what we may have done or where we're from, thank you, Lord, for loving us. May we emulate you, the same love towards others, towards everyone in our lives, by our actions and by our words, and also by the love that we have in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, that our faith is no longer about rules and about regulations, but about a relationship that will never end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.